right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm your host, joined as always by my co-host, Brendan Veman. How's it going, Brendan?
Hey, it's going good, Bryce. I'm excited for this one, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, you're a big Solana fanboy. I've been a Solana guy for years. It's just been an incredible ecosystem. And when everybody, you know, kind of wrote them off years ago, they doubled down, they tripled down, they continued to hire, they pursued and persisted through pain. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And guess what? In 2023, Solana was one of the best performing tokens in the crypto market, and probably the best token in the top, you know, 25 of the liquid trading tokens. Something like 890%, I just checked. So very excited to see just not only the growth in kind of the trading markets and the retail markets, but more importantly, a big engine underneath, which is the institutional growth. And so we wanted to dive into this and kind of hear from the horse's mouth. So we brought on Nick Dukoff, who's joining us today on the podcast, who is the head of institutional growth with Solana. So Nick, welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, TiVo here to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock, a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell all in one. That's right, 3-in-1 for triple the security. It's easy to install. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. It gives you keyless entry, so no more fumbling your keys when you have your hands full coming back from the grocery store. No more worry about the kids losing a house key. No more worry about a guest losing the house key or forgetting the passcode on your door. And for Airbnbers, it's a no-brainer as you can change the passcode at will between renters. It has available fingerprint recognition, and it has AI self-learning chip, so the more you use it, the more accurate it's going to be. You will have no anxiety with the battery charging. It is a rechargeable battery, and it lasts around 4 months, but don't worry, when it's low, it'll give you plenty of weeks' notice, and also, it always comes with a physical key as a backup. There's no monthly fee, unlike other brands that charge you a monthly fee to get your backup recordings. They're always recorded locally and you will always have access. Customer support for the Eufy Video Lock is 24/7, so you don't have to worry about any issues you have, and it comes with an 18-month warranty. What I love about this product is it's truly all-in-one with the 3-in-1. You don't have to go out and buy multiple parts. It's all in this package with the Eufy Video Lock. So if you're interested in learning more, go on Amazon and search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock. Again, that's EUFY Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock. Get complete control over your front door.
Absolutely. When did you join the Solana Foundation, and how have things changed maybe since the day you joined?
Yeah, I joined the Solana Foundation recently. I think I'm among, if not the newest member of the team. I joined in the second half of the year, right around Breakpoint. I had been doing some consulting with the foundation prior to joining the team full time, and it's been a fun run. How have things changed since I joined? Everybody wants to take my phone calls now,
yeah,
which is great.
I love that. It's funny. I mean, when the markets turn, I mean, like you joined in August, that was at the lows. I mean, that was the dead lows almost of a bear market and contraction in the altcoins. And what was it that kind of made you, you know, leave? You know, I want to hear about kind of what you were doing prior to Solana. What made it about crypto so special, maybe about Solana so special, that was like, you know what, I'm going to dive in, and who cares if it's a bear market for a year or 2 years? Because at that point, prices didn't even turn around yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had been at a venture fund prior to joining the Solana Foundation, and the most interesting projects that I had been talking to were all building on Solana. And you know, when I really kind of dug deep to understand why that was and understand the underlying technology that the Solana blockchain offers, it became clear that this was just a superior technology choice. And you know the saying, which is untrue, that if you build it, they will come, that is not a true saying. But in the case of Solana, the ecosystem, you know, just has been incredibly resilient, and they've been continuing to just deliver, deliver, deliver. And I think as folks became more and more aware of the great technology underlying the protocol, and then as more liquidity and volume came to the protocol, it has become, you know, compounding effects to make it what it is today.
And can you comment on what all these different people and projects said about why they were choosing Solana as opposed to other crypto projects?
Sure. So Solana is a high-performance layer one blockchain that has pioneered extreme speed and throughput at web scale without sacrificing security or decentralization. So it can process over 65,000 transactions per second with a block time of sub 400 milliseconds. So this is just blazing, blazing fast and able to handle a ton of transaction volume. And this is all along with extremely low fees. So Solana has deterministic fees, which today at around $100 a SOL is 0.0005 cents per transaction. And I think that like blows people's minds who are not as familiar with Solana, who may even have some familiarity with L2s. I mean, even on L2s, you're paying a few cents, 10 cents, you know, depending on mainnet Gwei. Solana is like crazy, crazy cheap to transact on.
Yeah, I saw that Solana passed Ethereum in daily transactions and in daily volume the other day. And that was kind of a crazy thing to see. I think even on the NFT side of things, Solana is getting a ton of attention for all the reasons that you mentioned. I mean, a lot of those NFT traders, it kind of hurts profitability when you're paying 20, 25 bucks per transaction. They go to Solana, they pay a few cents. Suddenly those profit margins completely open up, right?
No, I think that's exactly right. And in Q4, I think there was over 40 million average daily transactions on Solana. And as far as unique fee payers, I think that number was close to 500,000 in December alone.
Wow. And it's just crazy, like to be able to trade for such low cost. And you know, Brendan, you kind of mentioned the NFT traders or like the retail crypto traders, but think about an institution who's making millions of trades a day. I mean, there can't be any legitimate high frequency trading yet on Ethereum. It's cost prohibitive. You know, you get laughed out the room if you went and pitched an HFT on you know, using Ethereum. But Solana, I mean, now you have real firms like Jump, for instance, high frequency trading firm, very active in the development. Tell us a little bit about you know, Nick, what it's like, you know, kind of working with these institutions. What are they kind of leveraging Solana for? Is it you know providing liquidity mostly to retail markets? Is it tokenizing assets? What are they really thinking Solana's compelling for?
Well, I think, you know, there are myriad use cases. And I think that is one of the strongest attributes of the Solana blockchain is that, and I mean this in a positive way, is the genericity, like that it is a generic blockchain and can be useful in a variety of different
general purpose
utilities. That's right. And so like in the institutional RWA, vertical, like there are great examples like Ondo and Maple and Treasuries that are taking different approaches to offering treasuries on chain. In the private credit space, there are folks like Credix in Latin America and Bridge Split in private credit that are doing really great work. In real estate, there's organizations like Homebase that is tokenizing residential real estate, and Empire DAO, which is tokenizing like a commercial REIT. And then folks like Etherfuse, which is tokenizing Mexican sovereign bonds, and the list goes on and on. Wow. And those are just some RWA examples. And then you've got, you know, large institutions that I'm not able to talk about, you know, all of the work that they're doing to protect the confidentiality of that. But really interesting things that only the speed and throughput and cost that Solana enables, like, allows for.
Yeah. And when you kind of, you know, mention some of these companies that are leveraging it for RWAs, this is kind of a new term that's been getting thrown around quite a bit. You and I actually met at the Bridges Conf, or yeah, it was called the Bridge, hosted by the TIE, incredible conference. But like, I couldn't sit through one panel without hearing the term RWA. And which, hey, I'm all about it. I think it's great. But can you kind of walk through for the people what real world assets, bringing them on chain, what does that do? Why is that kind of now such a big trend?
Sure. So markets want to be 24/7, 365, right?
Yes. Money at the speed of life.
That's right.
You know, your life doesn't stop on the weekends.
But, you know, I'm sure you saw some of the jokes this weekend. Last week, obviously, was a big week for the blockchain and crypto space with the first Bitcoin ETFs being launched. And there was some price movement, I think, on Friday night. I can't remember, you know, price dropped. And everybody was saying, "Ooh, I can't wait to buy the dip Tuesday morning when the market opens." Right? of course, you can. There's a million different ways to go buy Bitcoin, you know, 24/7, but that's kind of the point. When you self-custody and have access and control over your crypto, you know, you are not constrained by, you know, the same limitations that traditional markets may have. And so we're starting to see innovation around, you know, bringing more assets that are typically traded either over the counter on public markets or, you know, in private markets to the blockchain with global liquidity, 24/7, 365 trading, you know, easy Forex swapping, you know, using stable coins, you know, all the benefits that the blockchain provides. And, you know, again, these are assets, you know, funds, ETFs, REITs, long tail collectibles like art. I've seen watches, I've seen, you know, whiskey and wine, like anything that is traded in markets today can be traded on chain. And I think, you know, markets want, you know, to be 24/7, 365. They want access to global liquidity. And, you know, crypto and the blockchain, you know, free the markets of a lot of the constraints of traditional infrastructure.
Yeah, it's incredible because it really allows you, like we said, you know, to extend that same idea of, you know, you could buy Bitcoin anywhere, you could send it anywhere at any time for virtually, you know, very small fee, extend that to Solana, and then extend that to all of your assets that you're never going to be constrained by the man. You're never going to be constrained by some system, some, you know, weekend, some holiday. I mean, literally anything. It's, you always are going to be online. And I think kind of in a world where it's ever growing, you know, of importance to be online and to, you know, be available and to have your assets when you need them, wherever you need them. And it's incredible. So I'm really excited. And outside of RWAs, you know, where else are you kind of seeing an uptick in growth on Solana? What, you know, what are you and your team kind of track? You know, maybe what are some of the key things that are, you know, growing that you guys are excited about?
Yeah, so I think, you know, going back to an earlier comment, one of the exciting things about Solana is that there's broad interest and activity and utility like across verticals. And that's because Solana is an order of magnitude faster and cheaper than L2s. And we have devs all over the world building on, testing, and improving on the protocol every day, launching new projects. And so I think for Solana, that diversity of utility is a strength. And with respect to what you know, what's happening in other verticals outside of institutional, you know, I just love attending our weekly internal updates because there's so many interesting things happening across the Solana ecosystem. So, you know, for example, Helium and HiveMapper in decentralized physical infrastructure, Visa and WorldPay in payments, Shopify and Boba Guys in loyalty commerce. We just sponsored Art Basel in Miami for NFTs and creators. The Saga phone on mobile has kind of taken a life of its own. And so as you can see, there's just tons of exciting developments across the ecosystem.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned that's just that there's so much happening on Solana right now. And I kind of want us to backtrack just a little bit before, you know, we move forward. But going back to kind of the start of this year, like walk us through what led Solana to such a historic recovery last year. Was it just the idea that Solana was like the best tech? I mean, Solana kind of toppled most other cryptocurrencies in this process. I mean, when you look at on-chain metrics, off-chain metrics, there's a ton of attention kind of coming that way. So I guess from your unique opinion, you know, what really led Solana to putting itself in that position?
Yeah, so I think I want to give credit to the many great developers that were building, you know, in the bear over the course of 2023. You know, coming out of the Breakpoint conference in October, I think the broader crypto and blockchain ecosystem really coalesced around the idea of Solana as being, you know, that kind of most credible high-performance layer one blockchain with lightning fast speed and throughput and extremely low cost, you know, deterministic fees. along with resilient and robust security and performance. And, you know, that was coupled with events like Jito's airdrop and meme coins like Bonk that have kind of driven more interest and liquidity and volume on Solana. As I mentioned, you know, there were 40 million transactions in Q4 and nearly 200,000 daily active fee payers. So, you know, this is happening across, you know, a pretty deep base of users. And there's also a ton of excitement around, you know, upcoming developments in 2024, like token extensions, which was known as Token 22, as well as Jump's new validator client that they're working on, the Firedancer validator client, which will make Solana only the third blockchain with multiple validator clients. So I think, you know, it's a function of, we saw this in telecom, you know, there used to be like the baby bells. There were like tons, every kind of major market had its own telecom provider. And then that consolidated. And, you know, now there's whatever Verizon, T-Mobile, I don't even know if Sprint's still around. You know, there's a handful of,
they got acquired.
of providers. And I think you're seeing that in the blockchain space where liquidity wants to be aggregated. Mm-hmm. And I think L2s kind of balkanize liquidity. And by the way, like I have very much been an ETH maxi for a very long time. My first MetaMask transaction was March of 2018. So like I've been there as part of that community for a very long time. And I'm still a huge fan of Ethereum in the community. But I think what Solana brings to the table in terms of the technology and also the community and ecosystem is just unrivaled by any other blockchain.
Yeah. It's incredible just to see the like you said, you know, kind of the general purpose nature of it and there being so many sectors. And one company that you mentioned was Helium. And it's amidst many other phenomenal companies. But I'd love for you to kind of talk about Helium in a sense, because this is one that's been getting just a ton of traction, a ton of excitement. And it's really only possible on a platform like Solana. I think they kind of tried to do it on Ethereum. There wasn't enough throughput. It just got bogged down. And it's decentralizing physical infrastructure. Any thoughts on that?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, so I am not a Helium expert, but the kind of the top level is that Helium has wireless transmitters that are operated in a decentralized manner. So basically anybody can buy the hardware, put it up on, you know, on their roof or whatever, and create an access point to the Helium network, and they get paid in Helium tokens to be providers of capacity for that network. And it was originally launched for Wi-Fi, and now it is also available for mobile. And so they recently announced a $20 nationwide all-you-can-eat mobile plan, where if you are a user of the mobile network, you can also use your phone's capacity to provide spectrum to the network as well and get compensated. So I've seen online that people are like making more than the $20, which is, you know, I pay like $150, I think, for my cell phone plan. So $20 is a pretty great bargain on its face. And then I've seen people that by providing access to their phone's network are making money. So they're actually profiting from getting, you know, free cell service essentially from Helium, which is incredible.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because I had a buddy who called me the other day and he's like, hey, I'm using Helium and it's paying for my cell service and I'm running Helium services and it's awesome, man. Like, you got to try this out. I just got married. It's great. It's working good for the family. And you're just kind of like going, yeah, he had this like revelation about how useful DPIN is and kind of the direction that it can go. And so we had this really cool conversation. He was stoked on it because this was his first experience with DPIN, as I'm sure it was for a lot of people. And he had this really positive experience, which was cool to kind of get to see it from someone else's perspective and from someone else's lens. And I kind of think that that's where we're at with DPIN right now, is we're really just at the start of it, kind of similar to the RWA space. And I think that DPIN has so many more applications and that it can evolve into something so much greater than just what it's being used for now. And I think Helium is kind of just the first project of many. So I'm curious, you know, are there any other projects? And I know you mentioned a few of them earlier, but are there any that are out now that you kind of see along the same path as maybe Helium?
Or maybe another big like enterprise or institution that might be doing something like T-Mobile is doing similar kind of growth hack in that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so in the DPIN space, and this is the whole promise of the ownership economy, right? That, you know, we, the people, can be providers, you know, to the global network in whatever vertical it may be, and then be compensated for participating, you know, in that network, as opposed to, you know, a small number of global corporations kind of capturing, an inordinately large piece of that pie. Another example is HiveMapper. So HiveMapper,
very cool,
is a device that you put in your windshield and it records road and traffic conditions. So similar to Waze, you know, that's on your phone. And they're building, you know, a de novo Google Maps where by logging mileage, you know, of recording, you get compensated in the HiveMapper token. Uber drivers, big rig drivers, folks like that that are on the road all day are, you know, participating in that. And it's really creating an incredible open source and valuable resource for drivers all around the world.
Yeah, man, there's got to be a future where we decentralize Uber and Lyft. I think about every single time I'm in an Uber, the driver complains about how much
there is a Solana Uber. It's called what is it called? Let's see if I've got this somewhere on my phone.
I gotta check it out.
Oh gosh,
because it's such a huge opportunity. I mean, people are always complaining that, you know, Uber's taking too big of a cut, but in reality, you know, they're just a matching engine.
Teleport.
I'm writing that one down. So all right, one-on-one listeners, get on Teleport and catch a Uber ride with a Solana bag holder. Not just kidding. No, but it's such an opportunity. The economics, you know, work so much more in favor of the consumer and the producer when you don't have a middleman who's just kind of taking a cut. So I think, like, you know, you mentioned, like, the real magic of all this is like the ownership economy. And so being able to have, in a sense, an open source algorithm that's the matching engine that, you know, both people could kind of, you know, get into and both have a peer-to-peer facilitation of any sort of transaction, which I think is going to be, you know, a big piece of the future. And I kind of want to pivot the conversation back to, like, you know, this institutional aspect of crypto. And I know you joked earlier about kind of people picking up your phone call now. And that wasn't always the case. And it's probably a combination of, you know, the prices going up and the market just getting a little bit more confidence, but also these Bitcoin ETFs. And this is a real big deal. It's been talked about quite a bit. But does that change your day-to-day now that you have the likes of Fidelity and BlackRock and, you know, maybe Vanguard comes around, you know, in a year or two? But does that kind of change your day-to-day now that you have some big players in the market?
I don't know that it changes my day-to-day. You know, having been, you know, in blockchain for a long time, you know, these are all important milestones along the road to, you know, global adoption, but we're still in the incredibly early innings of this. I think I saw yesterday that Circle shared that they've got 2.7 million wallets with $10 in it. which is a remarkable achievement. But when you think about that, like I'm a half dozen of those at least. And, you know, there are 8 billion people on the planet and, you know, less than a fraction of 1% of people have $10 of USDC, and USDC, you know, being, you know, one of the world's most used stable coins, being like a fundamental building block to accessing, you know, kind of global DeFi, you know, payments, et cetera. You know, we're still in incredibly early innings. I did see that 600 million in net inflows came into those Bitcoin ETF products in their first week of trading. And, you know, that's not nothing. You know, that's closer to a billion than it is to zero. And, you know, so that's good. And, you know, these asset managers haven't really even turned on their distribution yet. So there should be a lot more behind that over the course of the year. And, you know, I think the first application was filed a decade ago. So I know this has taken just a ton of work and grit and commitment from so many people in the ecosystem to get this across the line. And I know those same people are very committed to promoting this product and making it successful. You know, I'll say as a crypto native myself, I'm a fan of self-custody, but I recognize but I recognize that isn't practical for a lot of retail and a lot of institutional investors. And the ETF does give, you know, day one, billions of people around the world an easier way to access the asset class, even if they're not holding the asset themselves.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this was something that was seriously a decade in the making. I mean, people have been waiting for this thing for so long, and the moment's finally here. And so, you know, there's probably a good chunk of people out there that are now kind of sitting there saying, hey, this is great. Like, we've been waiting for this kind of institutional and full-on adoption. But now that we've had the ETFs get approved, what other major milestones do we have to look forward to? So is there any on the radar that you kind of have from an institutional growth perspective that you're looking forward to seeing?
Boy, I think, you know, it'll be good when there's some regulatory clarity in the United States. You know, other markets have kind of moved a bit ahead of the United States in terms of their willingness to, you know, innovate and allow for, you know, development within their blockchain ecosystem. I think the US is a little behind there. And so whether it's stable coins, which, you know, might be, you know, the first legislation, or how, you know, the SEC ultimately ends up, you know, regulating tokens. I know Coinbase, I read in the Wall Street Journal that they're asking for summary judgment, I believe, tomorrow on their case. So, you know, how that pans out, I think, will be another big milestone and will allow for more, you know, innovation around how the blockchain is used, you know, to help create more assets that can be accessed by, you know, those billions of people around the world that may not have access, you know, to certain products.
Yeah. And I think the big thing about having clear regulation is that this encourages more institutional money to get in. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the thing that a lot of people don't understand, is that, you know, for retail, it is actually pretty easy for the average retail investor to get in now. You can go to Coinbase. I mean, heck, now you can even buy from wallets. I see that, like, MetaMask, I think, has PayPal integrations. It's really easy now to get your hands on Bitcoin and most cryptos as a retail investor. But I think what clear regulation will do is that'll kind of really open up the floodgates for that institutional money, the big money, the smart money, to more freely kind of be involved in the crypto space.
Yeah, and it'll allow a lot of these businesses to even operate onshore. I mean, so many of them are going offshore, and think about offshore businesses are going to be offshore profits and tax revenue. And it's like, you think the government's just dropping the huge ball right now, when you realize, I mean, this is a black hole for liquidity. Like, why don't you want to, you know, try and capture as much market share as possible instead of the bad guys or the competition or whatever. But I'm not a government guy. I couldn't fathom what's going on in their minds. Too complex regulation. I hope it comes. I hope it's good regulation. You know, call your senators, call your congressmen, let them know that you just want positive crypto policy. But Nick, while we still have you, you know, I'm just curious. I mean, you haven't been always on the investment side. You've also been a builder and you've been a founder before.
Can you tell us a couple secrets for those of us who are out there, maybe entrepreneurs in the crypto market or building our own companies? You know, you've obviously gotten to a point where you've achieved a lot of success. So what did it take to become successful?
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, I've worn a lot of different hats. So I started my career as a securities lawyer. Then I became a founder and did a couple startups of my own. And then I got to, you know, put on the venture capital hat and see the market through that lens. Now, of course, at the Solana Foundation. I think, you know, if you think about it in terms of like a hierarchy, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like the base level is you've just got to work, you know, harder than anybody else. Like mm-hmm. that is a fundamental foundational layer. Even if you get towards the top of that pyramid and have like the best strategy and, you know, the best smarts and all that other, you know, good stuff and luck, you know, you still need to work harder than everyone else in order to win. As you move up that kind of hierarchy, I think you want to be working hard on the right things. So having, you know, kind of market selection is really important. So making sure that you're choosing a market that wants whatever it is that you're building. And, you know, people talk about product market fit. And I think most people focus on the product. Like if you go Google product market fit, almost every article you read will be about like A/B testing and like refining your product. And I think a lot of people make a big mistake there in that they're not solving for the market side of the product market fit equation. You can always just change markets or choose a different market. And I think where you start is really important in terms of market selection. So, you know, now you're working hard, you're working on the right problem, like in the right market. You want to be surrounding yourselves with people that are, you know, 10 times smarter than you. So, you know, that's ultimately how you're going to get, you know, leverage is by surrounding yourself with, you know, amazing team members. That's one of my favorite things about the Solana Foundation is just the team here is completely stacked. And then when you think about the leverage that the Solana Foundation gets, we work in service of the ecosystem and the community. So there's thousands of active developers and community members, tens of thousands all over the world. And, you know, being able to support them every day and, you know, kind of support their brilliance and their innovation and allow them to create and build new things is a real privilege. And so same as an entrepreneur, surround yourself with brilliant people, free them to do great work, you know, allow them to get, you know, as much leverage as they can, you know, to go execute and build great things in the market. And then I think, you know, you've got hard work, you've got market selection, you've got leverage with amazing people. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you still need to have a little luck. And that's something that I didn't fully appreciate, I think, when I was younger. I think I thought that there was more in my control, and I'm stoic.eth and stoically.soul. Like I'm have come to learn that there is a lot in our locus of control, and we've got to do, you know, everything we can in that domain. But there's also a lot that isn't in our control, that is outside of our control. And you know, at the end of the day, the chips just got to fall in your favor, even if you do everything else right.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
That was before you go off on the next question. I just got to say that was like the best answer I could have ever bargained for. way better. I thought it was going to be not nearly as good of an answer. I'm very thorough, so appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, the crypto space is becoming increasingly more robust, and with that, there's so many people, so many projects to kind of look up and look forward towards. You know, is there someone that comes to the top of your mind when you admire someone in the crypto space?
Well, so who I admire in the crypto space, this may sound a bit trite, but it's Satoshi Nakamoto. You know,
what an incredibly
cool unsolved mystery. You know, publishing the Bitcoin white paper and just ghosting everyone is like the ultimate mic drop, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever know who we owe, you know, this huge debt of gratitude to. But I really do believe that his or her disappearance, their absence, has created the space to let the blockchain become something that, you know, again, kind of we all have inherited and can own and build on together. And, you know, that makes you an owner, that makes me an owner. And then we have that opportunity and responsibility to continue to make things, you know, more composable and useful, you know, for those that follow. And the benefits, of course, flow back. For doing that. And I think that is kind of the kernel of the ownership economy. And I think we owe that to Satoshi.
Yeah. I think that's a great place to kind of tie a bow on today's episode. Nick, I'm just curious if people want to follow along and stay in touch. You know, where should people go? You know, stoic.eth, I know you mentioned. Are you on X or Twitter? Is Solana got a Discord?
Yep. So I am Nick Dukoff, NickDukoff on Twitter, and I'm Stoic on Warpcast, or Farcaster as it is sometimes affectionately known. That's what it was called when it started. And then, of course, you can follow Solana Foundation on LinkedIn and Twitter. Would love to see you at our events. We have events all over the world, all the time, and welcome all newcomers to the Solana ecosystem.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining us and spending some time giving us your wisdom. And hopefully everybody at home was diligent, took some notes, and is better off for coming to the show today. So without further ado, we'll let you go. Thank you so much. And for everybody at home watching, come back same time, same place next week. Got another great guest.